The power of the decemvirs did not last beyond 2 years, nor was the consular jurisdiction of the military tribunes of long duration. The despotisms of Cinna and Sulla were brief. The rule of Pompey and of Crassus soon yielded before Caesar. The arms of Lepidus and Antony before Augustus, who, when the world was wearied by civil strife, subjected it to empire under the name of Principate. The successes and reverses of the old Roman people have been recorded by famous historians, and fine intellects were not wanting to describe the times of Augustus, till growing sycophancy scared them away. The histories of Tiberius, Gaius, Claudius, and Nero, while they were in power, were falsified through terror, and after their death were written under the irritation of a recent hatred. Hence, my purpose is to relate a few facts about Augustus, more particularly his last acts, then the reign of Tiberius, and all which follows, without either bitterness or partiality, or from any motives from which I am far removed. When, after the deaths of Brutus and Cassius, there was no longer any army of the Commonwealth, when Pompey was crushed in Sicily, and when, with Lepidus pushed aside and Antony slain, even the Julian faction had only Caesar left to lead it, then, dropping the title of triumvir, and stressing that he was a consul and was satisfied with the tribune's authority for the protection of the people, Augustus won over the soldiers with gifts, the populace with cheap corn, and all men with the sweetness of repose, and so grew greater by degrees, while he concentrated in himself the functions of the Senate, the magistrates, and the laws. He was wholly unopposed, for the boldest spirits had fallen in battle, or in the proscription, while the remaining nobles, the readier they were to be slaves, were raised the higher by wealth and promotion, so that, aggrandized by revolution, they preferred the safety of the present to the dangerous past. Nor did the provinces dislike that condition of affairs, for they distrusted the government of the Senate and the people, because of the rivalries between the leading men and the rapacity of the officials, while the protection of the laws was unavailing, as they were continually deranged by violence, intrigue, and finally by corruption. Augustus, meanwhile, to support his despotism, raised to the pontificate and curule aedileship Claudius Marcellus, his sister's son, while a mere stripling, and Marcus Agrippa, of humble birth, a good soldier, and one who had shared his victory, to 2 consecutive consulships. And as Marcellus soon afterwards died, he also accepted Agrippa as his son-in-law. Tiberius, Nero, and Claudius Drusus, his stepsons, he honoured with imperial titles, although his own family was as yet undiminished, for he had admitted the children of Agrippa, Gaius, and Lucius into the house of the Caesars, and before they had yet laid aside the dress of boyhood, he had most fervently desired, with an outward show of reluctance, that they should be entitled Princes of the Youth, and be consuls elect. When Agrippa died, and Lucius Caesar, as he was on his way to our armies in Spain, and Gaius, while returning from Armenia and suffering from a wound, were prematurely cut off by destiny, or by their stepmother Livia's treachery, Drusus too having long been dead, Tiberius remained alone of the stepsons, and on him everything tended to centre. He was adopted as a son, as a colleague in empire, and a partner in the tribunician power, and paraded through all the armies, no longer through his mother's secret intrigues, but at her open suggestion. For she had gained such a hold on the aged Augustus that he drove out as an exile into the island of Planasia his only grandson, Agrippa Postumus, who, though devoid of worthy qualities, and having only the brute courage of physical strength, had not been convicted of any gross offence. And yet Augustus had appointed Germanicus, Drusus's offspring, to the command of 8 legions on the Rhine, and required Tiberius to adopt him, although Tiberius...